Hi, I'm Varun Atala, and I'm a twin mom of toddler boys, which means I do know a thing or two about being quarantined and feeling like you are stuck in a rut. Let me show you how you can feel better and make your life a little more productive by just shifting your lens. Hey everyone, welcome to part two of the Father's Day special series. I'm overwhelmed by the response for part one with my dad, and I'm hoping that you would enjoy this episode just as much. This episode is going to be different from the previous one, not only because we're talking about raising our twin boys, but also because it's going to come from the point of view of new parents who are still in the process of raising young kids. We all know everything about parenting is trial and error, so obviously what we discuss or share with you is not the gospel truth, but our intent behind our journey. Currently, as you all know, my husband Ritesh is in the US and I'm here in India because of the lockdown, well, thanks to the pandemic. So this conversation is being recorded across two continents. Ritesh is very reluctant to do this because he does not really enjoy the limelight. He's not only brilliant in his field of finance, but also an extremely creative graphic designer and a poet under the pseudonym Capture the Poet. But watching him with our kids, I truly believe that this is the role he was always meant to play, that being of a father. I have not met anyone who is so patient, understanding, and calm. He never loses his temper with the kids, something which is quite a challenge, at least for me, when you have two very destructive toddlers. I'd love to talk to him about our journey in raising our boys so far, because for the quiet guy that he is, this will be one of those rare moments you will get to hear his very insightful thoughts. Hey, hubby, it's good to bring you from behind the scenes. Ritesh usually helps me with my pre-production. And in front of the mic today, I know this isn't the most comfortable place for you. And so it's fun to see you squirm.
Yeah, I am excited to do this with you. I don't know if squirm is the right word. Last week, you had your dad on, and it was an amazing episode. 30 years of wisdom distilled into that episode. So I'm a little over 2 years of wisdom. So please set your expectations accordingly.
No, you'll be awesome. I'm just excited to do this with you. Okay, quick intro into my pregnancy. 2.5 years ago, I got pregnant and found out only in my second trimester that I was expecting twins. My reaction to the news was, I don't know if you remember that. It was like, I was just so excited. I was so happy. And when I was even more happy when I found out that I was pregnant. And I know you had a very, very different reaction. So let's walk down memory lane together, if I'm sleep deprived, mind permits us to. So what were your thoughts when you found out I was pregnant with twins? Did you feel you had to prepare yourself mentally and emotionally for being a father to boys?
Yeah, I think both when we found out that you were pregnant and when we found out that we were having twins, I was traveling for work, so we weren't together. So I think processing both of those things alone at that time was like very overwhelming. I remember like when we found out we were having twins, just feeling like incredibly overwhelmed by just the logistics and the financial implications of raising two kids in New York. I was thinking, okay, we're going to have a kid and then maybe 2-3 years we'll have another kid and we can build up to that. But with twins, you have to buy two of everything in the beginning. You needed two cribs, two car seats. and so like that
double stroller,
everything was just a lot to process and how that we were going to manage. But I think like once we figured that out, like I was excited. I don't know if boys really factored into the equation at that time. I think with boys, I feel it's going to be a lot more work. 2017, when we found out that we were pregnant, was in the middle of the Me Too movement. And so there was a lot of discussion and thought of how men are raised and, you know, what values are instilled in them from a young age that carry with them throughout their life. And so, I spent a lot of time thinking about that and what I would want to impart and do differently. At that time, too, our pastor at our church in New York was going through with his son a program that he developed called Primal Path. And he did that 5 a.m. every morning for 6 years in order to build a level of commitment and dedication and intentionality with his son, in order for him to be someone who is passionate and has integrity and skill. And you know, that's a lot of work. And I think, I want to raise my kids, Ashton and Aiden, in that same framework. And, that level of commitment to them, I think I feel responsibility with boys. I think with boys too, because I was a boy and have gone through what they've gone through. In order for me to teach them, I am also going to have to address my own wounds and my own hurts from childhood and from growing up, and face that in order for them to learn from that. And I think that is something that I need to confront, as they get older and as I continue to kind of teach them.
Right. No, that's good. In fact, you brought up the Me Too movement. That was a really good point. I don't know if you remember one of our friends actually talking about it, that, this is not the time we should be having boys. And I was like, this is actually the time we should be having boys, because there's hope, because now we're building a better generation and we're given that opportunity to do so. So, yeah, I really thought that's a good point about the Me Too movement. Okay, so I don't know if you remember, we did a lot of prep work when I was pregnant, which of course most parents do. I read books while you listen to podcasts and read a lot of blogs. But what were you really unprepared for or surprised you after having Ashton and Aiden?
I think, to be honest, I don't feel it was an instant connection I had with the boys when they were born. For me, it was love out of duty. I remember even the first night at the hospital when the nurse came in and she was like, "Do you want me to take the boys to the nursery?" We were like, "Bye."
Bye.
I think early on, like I was grappling with myself, like, why am I not feeling this like instant bond or instant connection with the boys? But looking back, I think that really taught me what love is. Like, love is not a feeling that would come to me and is, you know, feelings are transient and is ever changing. But love out of devotion and responsibility is much more deeper than that. And, you know, looking back, like I said, I think I'm glad to have gone through that, because hopefully my level of connection with the boys is that much deeper now.
Yeah, and I do want to mention that night we both, the first night, do you remember, once our family left and then we finally had a minute to ourselves because they took the kids away, and I asked you, do you have this connection with them? And then you looked at me and I was like, I don't feel it. And you were like, I don't either. And there was this sense of relief in being able to share that with you and being, you were just vulnerable with each other. And I think that was such a beautiful moment, because I think it's so important to be able to just openly say that to your partner without feeling like we're going to get judged for it. And then taking that step towards building that relationship with our boys. And now, of course, we can't even imagine our life without them. So
yeah,
that was a good conversation. I don't even know how we had the energy to have that, but yeah. So Raising the twins has been such a roller coaster journey so far, but it is like literally double the trouble, but triple the joy. And so, according to you, what is the best part about parenting or raising boys?
For me, I feel it's like you have a blank slate and it's your responsibility to fill that slate with whatever you want to fill it. And so, I love teaching them about stuff, in the mornings when we were in New York, waking up and them helping me with the dishes, taking the dishes out and breaking the eggs and
Oh,
cooking the eggs.
that was special, eh?
I think for me, just those mundane things that I take for granted, to be able to see them through their eyes, these little things that are very meaningful for them, I think that has been like really special for me. With boys, it's always energy, and these guys seem to have a wellspring of energy. One of my favorite memories with them was taking them to the beach and seeing them run up and down into the ocean, and getting caught up in the waves, and there was little moments of fear when a wave would overtake them, and I think my instinct was to pull them back and protect them, but I also wanted them to feel their place in the world, and I think at sometimes like I remember distinctly you were like very careful with how they were, and you didn't want them to. But for me, it was like, it's okay if they get pushed over by a wave. Like I want them to be able to feel that. And I think especially with boys, like I want them to be able to be knocked down a little bit.
Yeah, I definitely see that. And I think that's what our relationship is really balanced that way, because I'm normally the pull them back, be careful. And you're like, it's okay, let them fall, let them get hurt. So I love that. Yeah. And I love that it's a bit of both. So I had mentioned this in my previous podcast that one of the best gifts you had given me when I was pregnant was you had made, these frames of different characteristics that you wanted our kids to have and values that we shared together as a couple. I don't want to mention all 12 of them, but out of those, what were the three most important characteristics you want our boys to specifically have?
I think a lot of them complement each other. So I think for me, the top of the list is love and compassion. Our calling is to love each other, is to love our neighbors. Like that is the most important commandment that we have. And that is a foundation for everything else. So I think giving them a framework to be able to love and have compassion for people. I mean, the times that these kids are growing up in is crazy. I mean, now it's Black Lives Matter and facing, institutional racism, and we had the Me Too movement, and there's all these different forces that our society is reckoning with at this point in time. And I think the baseline to be able to understand and feel and process those things is to be a loving and compassionate person. The second for me is wonder, having a sense of wonder and creativity. I think those go hand in hand. I think I have a very visceral reaction to being in nature and feel a very spiritual connection with God in those times, and I want the kids to feel that too.
And your wife to feel
Yeah, and you to
that
feel that too. I think as we grow older, we become so monotonous in our ways, and we become very predictable. Our days become predictable. We have a routine. We don't really give ourselves time to think and to be overwhelmed by creation, or even just walking to the subway. There's so many things that we don't even see because we're so pre-programmed. And you see that when you take the kids on, when we put them in the stroller and walk with them, what they pay attention to, if you watch, and how they react to those things, like it's just so special. And I want them to continue to have that as they grow older. I think the last thing is perseverance and humility. like I was saying before, like I don't view failure as a bad thing. And I think within, especially within our culture, within an Indian or East Asian culture, failure always has a negative connotation to it. But through failure comes growth. And I want the kids to not view failure as a bad thing. I want them to embrace it and to learn from it and to grow from it. And through that, hopefully, they will develop a sense of humility, which I think is very important. Really, I think those are like the key things for me.
I do believe this is one of your toughest seasons, if not for both of us, but more for you, not only as a father, but generally. Just being apart from us for nearly, what is it? It's going to be nearly 5 months now. What's the one thing it's taught you about family, or one thing you will never take for granted?
I think it's 140 days since I haven't seen you guys. Yeah, it's been a long time. I think the one thing that it has taught me is that the construct of family is not nuclear. It's not this idea that the four of us together are incubated and make up a complete social unit. One of our friends forwarded an article to us by David Brooks, who's a New York Times columnist, and he wrote an article in The Atlantic titled "The Nuclear Family is a Mistake." And he goes through this kind of shift in the last 100 years where initially families were very clan oriented because it was an agricultural society. And as we became more industrialized through cultural, economic, institutional changes, we became this very like incubated unit. And how that whole structure has started to break. So he pointed out two things that are very like important strengths in extended families, and I've really felt them through this pandemic. I think the first one is resilience. When you have so many people, you have a supporting web of family to be able to share the burdens. And you being in India with your family to be able to share this burden, me being in Chicago with my family, although we're not able to be together, we were able to have a support structure and not kind of go through this alone. I think the second important strength that he mentioned in that article was family being a socializing force, in that it's not just you and me who are shaping and forming the kids, it's the whole family who shares that responsibility. And for me, like I don't ever want to feel like it's completely my responsibility to do that. You have this kind of phrase that it takes a village to raise a child, and I think that's so true. And just even hearing your dad reflect on raising you and your sister, there's just such a wealth of knowledge and wisdom there that the boys can benefit from. And it would be very selfish of me to say, I am only going to be the one who is forming them. They should be able to take the best from everyone to be able to learn from and grow. And so, really, this pandemic has fortified that kind of feeling that I've had for a long time, but has really like made it like very tangible and relatable.
So true. I'm actually really enjoying listening to you, and I'm also benefiting from this. And what about our kids? What do you think we'd want our children to learn from us during this pandemic season, or during, any time of crisis, which obviously we'll face a few more in the future?
Yeah, I think going back, it's the importance of family. It's the importance of sticking together through thick and thin. It's creating a sense of safety that you would want your kids to come back when they're going through tough times or when they're going through a crisis. I think it's also caused me to really reflect on what I value. When I was that 3 days of when the whole world changed. Things were changing by the hour, and I made a, or we made a decision in a matter of hours to shut down the house and to leave New York. And at that point, it was very emotional for me to leave because all these things that I have collected over the years and have placed an intrinsic value to, I was leaving behind when push came to shove. Like, it wasn't important to me. And I think this pandemic has really forced me to really evaluate what is important. Like, is it's not the material stuff that, especially living in New York, you feel a sense of pressure to have certain things or certain to be at certain levels. And I think this pandemic has really forced me to reevaluate those things.
Yeah, and I also feel that, especially since I am physically with the kids, the important thing, and they might seem too young for this, but I don't think so, is our faith. I think it's very important that they see me worship God out of the blue, like on my knees, and I'm worshiping Him. I am praying. I am, knowing that sometimes mom and dad don't have the answers. Mom and dad are sad. Mom and dad are worried, but there is something that is certain during this uncertainty, and that is God. And I really, really hope during these times of crisis, that's the first thing they are able to see and witness, and then believe one day. So, as a parent, this is a question that we do get asked a lot. What is your biggest fear as a parent?
Yeah, I think going back to your previous point, I think it's really having a strong faith, especially during this pandemic. For me, it's having faith that God is taking care of you and is providing for you and is meeting your needs that you have every day, taking care of the kids when I am not physically able to be there to participate or to help in that. I think faith in general is something that kids can easily pick up on. And if there is not a deep-rooted sense of faith, I think the kids are very perceptive and they can feel that. And they can feel that there is an underlying fear that our parents have. And I think that has ramifications or implications as they grow up, and subconsciously the choices that they make. I think faith, it's still a long way for us to go until the kids leave the house, but trusting, I mean, even in the everyday, trusting that as much as I can do, and as much as it is my desire to protect my kids, it is not in my hands. I can do as much as I want, but at the end of the day, it's having faith that God is looking after them and taking care of them.
So there's this saying that a child gives birth to a mother. I never understood that till I became one. There's so much they're shaping us to be, so that we can be the best examples for them. And you are surprised by how much they have softened me and how patient I am with them. But I want to turn this into a fun question. So, what's the one thing from your childhood the boys have rekindled in you? I can start by talking about, and we've talked about this quite a few times, just my sense of adventure. I know it died down for a bit and generally does as, you get older and more jaded, busy with everything around you. But I feel they've reignited a sense of adventure again, something that I had as a child, something, just to just go out and take risks and explore more and come back home sweaty and dirty. What do you think? What do you think yours is?
Yeah, I think it's, for me, it's a sense of wonder. They have really forced me to slow down and to observe and to participate in a world where normally I'm too engrossed in my own thoughts or in reading the news or getting caught up on social media. But their commitment to have my undivided attention whenever I'm with them and to really like be in the moment with them has really opened up for me, like a feeling of wonder and almost like enlightenment in things that I previously ignored and haven't really paid conscious attention to, if that makes any sense.
No, I definitely see it because I know when we walk, you walk even slower now because you're looking dramatic for a tree or something.
Yeah.
So flower or busy showing them something. But no,
yeah.
I know at that moment I sound really upset and mad and ask you to walk faster, but I think it's pretty amazing that you're always exploring and showing them new things. Okay, so during premarital counseling, I don't know if you remember this, our pastor had told us how important it is to build a strong foundation in the first few years of your marriage before having kids. And this is also actually highly recommended by therapists because we both know how much they take out of us. And so you're basically using up all your reserves to sustain your marriage during the first few years of having kids. So what marital advice would you give new parents? This is fun because we're still new parents, but yeah, I just want to
yeah.
know what you have to say.
I mean, I would honestly say double down on the advice that we got. Kids are such a convenient distraction from a marriage. And after a long day of you taking care of the kids, you know, if I come home and want to go out and you say, I'm too tired, I have been with the kids all day, it's hard for me to, I mean, that's a very like valid excuse. Like it's
reason, not excuse.
Yeah, very valid reason not to do anything. And it's hard for me to be angry or upset about that. But if you don't have established time to really focus in on each other, date nights or marriage time, just to kind of talk about what you're going through, it's very easy to just be distracted and push those things under the rug, sweep those things under the rug. And then before you know it, you are living parallel lives. And then you see a lot of this in culture where kids go away in college. And then all of a sudden it's just both parents who are now strangers who are not used to interacting or communicating on a deep level really struggle with that. So it's really establishing that at the beginning of our marriage. And I think one of the best pieces of advice that I got, and I'm still I'm still learning how to do it well, is the best gift that you can give your kids is to love your wife well. And so I think that relationship is the foundation that our kids will have as a reference point in their life. And if we really want to nail this, our marriage really has to be strong.
True. I love that. Yeah. Okay, the last one, since we're running out of time. What do you need to hear or know from Ashton and Aiden to know that you've been a good father?
Just knowing that they have a strong foundation in God. I think if I'm able to really instill that into them, no matter what happens to them, I think they'll be fine. I know for me, there's so many times in my life where I have felt if I didn't have that connection, I could have gone in a thousand different ways that all would have been very unproductive and very damaging to my life. But that anchor has really like kept me on course. If I know when they become adults and young men, if they have that same anchor in Christ, I think we've done our job.
Yeah, that would actually be the gift, best gift to us as parents too.
Yeah.
Science suggests and experience supports that when we show up for our kids and give them the opportunity to be seen, They can learn how to see themselves with clarity and honesty. That's one of the greatest gifts you can give your child. In fact, I see you, Ritesh, do that with them. You help the twins feel seen, and you take the time to look at their behavior, discard any preconceived ideas, and consider what's really going on with them. I really think you're a great dad.
Well, thank you for that, V. I feel if you want to give me credit to helping them see, then you deserve all the credit to helping them feel like they've been heard. And I think this podcast is an extension of that. You using your voice to be able to speak truth and power in a very, very difficult situation for a lot of people, in a way that's graceful and light and relatable. And I think the overwhelming amount of feedback and support that you've received is just evidence to that. And this might be the first and last time that I'm ever on a podcast, and who knows, we'll see. But I know that this is just the beginning of a really awesome journey for you, and I'm so proud of you, and I am really looking forward to what's next.
I want to end this podcast with this quote both Ritesh and I try to live by. It's by psychiatrist Daniel Siegel, and he says, "One way to set up a child for success is to take some time every day to really see them for who they are and not for who you want them to be." Hi, thanks for tuning in. I would love to hear from you and get to know you better. So do write in with your comments or feedback, or just drop in and say hi. Let me know where you're from and how you're doing during this time. You can email me at unproductivequarantwin@gmail.com. Really, really looking forward to hearing from you.